Hello, everybody, and welcome to Friends of the Force, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I'm your host, Sarah.
And this week on the show, we are talking about the Bad Batch Season 2, two-part finale. We made it. That was my emotions, my heart rate right there that you just heard. Our heart rate was all over the place.
We share a single heart, and that's why our collective heart rate was so high.
Yeah. Through the roof in this episode. Still not over it. I've watched this twice now. We just got fresh off of you watching it for the first time.
Yeah, Brad,
and we're gonna talk about it here.
How was that for me, Brad?
Well, let's preface right off the bat. This is a spoiler discussion. If you haven't joined us in previous weeks, we've been talking about the Bad Batch all season long. We've been kind of splitting up episodes, doing a couple in one. And now we are talking about both episodes today. And we did not get screeners for the finale. So we had to wait like everybody else. We woke up today. We watched it. It was a lot. And we are going into spoilers on this episode. So we will be talking about The Summit, which is directed by Nathaniel Villanueva and written by Matt McNevitz, and Plan 99, directed by Stuart Lee and written by Jennifer Corbett. And you know the Bad Batch is never bad when it's written by either of those two writers. It's always really good. It's always really good stuff. And some great directors in the mix as well. So spoilers ahead. That's your only warning that you're getting. And here we go.
Here's the question, Brad. How did it go for me?
To put it in your words, you had one foot on the cliff, 1 foot off the cliff.
I had 1 foot off the edge for like 25 minutes today.
You're like, okay, what is everybody so sad about these episodes for?
Brad and I watched it together, and I literally was like, I just keep seeing everybody vague tweet that they're sad about the Bad Batch. What's up with that? Yeah. And then we get, 5 minutes into the second episode, and I was like, I'm fucking out. I'm done. We're canceling the show. I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I'm out. I have a foot off the edge. I'm about to jump.
We're not watching season 3. We're done. We're out.
I was like, it's done. It's done. Like, I'm sorry, but I can't go on. I'm so mad. Yeah. I was so mad.
Like, there is a lot happen. There was
Brad
a lot that
probably
happened.
Was like, I literally can't even hear the dialogue right now because Sarah just keeps yapping.
No, it was super entertaining to watch your reaction. My second time watching it, so yeah, it was an emotionally devastating episode of the Bad Batch. I did not expect a mainstay character to die, or
literally,
quote unquote, die.
Literally,
we haven't seen a body.
I am so mad about it.
Okay, so we're going to just address the elephant in the room. Is tech actually gone?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
You're convinced?
No, but yeah. You know what I also said this morning? Or maybe yesterday? I don't know, when we were talking last. And you were, maybe it was earlier today. I don't know. I don't know when it was. My sense of time is bad. But you were like, what do you think, or what do you not want to happen or something like that? And I was like, somebody to die. And then I walked away and I was like, okay, now I think I had to go to the bathroom, and we were like chatting, and I was like, okay, I'm going to walk away from my laptop. Like, you can laugh now if somebody dies. And I really did not expect to be correct in that one. Like, why would you, should we start here? Should we start here?
Yeah, we should start.
Should we get into
this? I think this is one of the biggest things that happened on the show, because it's like one of the core bunch that we've just allegedly lost. I might be a tech death truther and say that we haven't seen a body. We thought Echo died in the Clone Wars and he got resurrected in season 7 by the Bad Batch, and we haven't seen a body. And I think the goggles by Dr. Hemlock are a misdirect.
Ooh.
I think it's a misdirect, and he's going to be on Mount Tantus. Season 3 is going to be like we got to rescue Omega and Crosshair, and then they rescue both of them, and they're like, wait, shit, tech is in one of the other mountains here, because we saw other mountains in the background at the end of the episode, so there's like multiple facilities around that area, it looks like. So I'm convinced that he will be in another one, and like, it's like, oh god, now we gotta have Crosshair as part of the bunch, and Crosshair is gonna help us rescue tech, because tech always missed Crosshair, and like, how poetic would it be for Crosshair to rescue tech, and tech be like, oh my god, you're here. That's my conspiracy theory. I think Tech's alive.
Can I?
But I'm also very sad still.
Pick up the microphone. I know that sometimes you get mad at me when I do that. Can I stand up and pick up the microphone?
Sure.
Are you audio?
It's my editing nightmare, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You've said yes. I'm standing up, boy. Guys. So I'm so upset about this. Okay. So like I have a few thoughts here, and I think that your thought about what potentially season three could look like is interesting and could like work emotionally and also like thematically. But like, I do think tech could actually be, I'm mad about it. Okay. I stood up because I'm mad about it. I'm mad about it. I'm upset about it. I'm not happy about it. And I'm upset about it. Okay. I want to make that really clear. I want the listener to understand that I'm mad, angry, sad, depresso, espresso, upset.
Depresso,
cranky.
Espresso. That's what we're drinking today. Hell yeah.
Right. I'm so mad about it, because why would you do this? Why would you do this? Which I guess is like maybe a reason to be a tech death truther. But like, why would you do this? Why would you hurt poor baby Omega in this way? Why would you kill off a member of the Bad Batch? Okay. On the other hand, you know how like episode 8, we were like, oh, it's a good thing that Echo is like going off, with on his own like side missions, because I sometimes get Tech and Echo confused, because to me, they sometimes fulfill the same purpose on the team. But like, Tech is doing the brains and Echo is doing the human droid work, and they kind of fill that same role on the team sometimes.
Well, and they're both the pilots too, because remember when we get that shot of Echo in the cockpit and he looks over at the empty seat. Right before the Star Destroyer arrives. That was a moment, you know, like, ah, oh,
yeah.
Hit me right in the feels. He's like, oh, I don't have my co-pilot.
Yeah. So I think they're both like really interesting characters, but like my brain sometimes puts them together, because in other like teams in Star Wars, it's just like a single actual droid that's like doing both of those things.
Right.
You know, like the C-3PO or the R2-D2. Well, those are two droids, yes. But they're kind of fulfilling that single role, right? So I think like Tech and Echo kind of both do that sometimes. But why would you kill off a member of the Bad Batch, okay? The Bad Batch is now down to 3 grown men, okay? 3 grown men. They lost their child, who has another sibling, apparently. I don't know if the men know about this. I don't know if their daughter's dads know about their other... child. So they're down 2 members. Well, no, they're down 3 members now, right?
Two. Well, cross.
No, they're half.
Crosshair,
they're half
Omega Tech. Yeah,
they're half a batch right now. Okay,
it's half of a baker's dozen.
That's right, and that's a pretty lame amount.
It's a quarter of a baker's dozen.
Right, and that's
a baker's dozen's 13. I lied. That's, I don't
you're
know
right.
Math.
You
Anyways.
Know what? We were just kind of on a roll there that we just didn't think about numbers. It's fine. There are only 3 of them left. And there are 3 that we do not know what is going to happen to them next. And one of them might just be dead. Like, it just might be heaven or hell, you know, like it might be the afterlife is what happens to them next. But for the other 2, it may also be the afterlife, but also just maybe torture. Okay. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm upset. I'm mad. We should have just recorded my reaction and posted that.
This is still pretty good capital C content here.
Yeah, but like if we had recorded the video and like the face that I made at the end of this episode.
Okay, so like there's a lot of moving parts here, because like on one hand, I don't like a fake out death. You know, like that was one of my things with the Rise of Skywalker, was like, oh, Chewie's alive. Oh, 3PO's alive. You know, like nothing had stakes. Like nothing was like a permanent death that like meant something.
The reason why that doesn't have stakes is because they were reversed like 20 seconds later.
True, true. So like on the one hand, if a fake out death is a thing, but it happens maybe like towards the very end of season 3 and it's like, oh shit, like hope restored after, you know, 13 to 14 episodes without Tech, and like episode 14, we find out Tech's alive, and then we got to wait the week and we get the 2-part rescue Tech finale, you know, like that could be interesting. That could work for me. On the flip side, I think like the whole thing about Tech put like the mission and his brothers above himself, right? And like the whole thing with it being called, Plan 99, let's execute Plan 99. And like Wrecker has that moment of like, oh, right? and we think of the meaning behind Plan 99, we have to think about Clone Force 99 and who is Clone Force 99 named after. It's Clone 99, who was like the OG Bad Batch member from Clone Wars, who sacrificed himself against the battle droids at the facility.
Do you want me to jump?
No, but we have to, like, draw that connection. We have to draw that connection to OG.
I literally, while you were talking there, I opened up the window and threw a leg out. Yeah. I could just go.
So I thought that was like, once I kind of made that connection, I was like, really, ouch, right? Like, he is, they're naming this specific sacrificial order as, like, after the guy who, like, sacrificed himself in the name of a larger cause and of more soldiers than just himself, right? While at the same time, like, Tech's words are just so perfect. They're, I don't know if I am mixing Echo up when I think I've been saying Tech. Tech's words are, like, so meaningful. Like, when have we ever followed orders? Which, by the way, the Star Wars TikTok account updated their bio on TikTok to that line. Cruel. Cruel and unusual, if you ask me.
Jail time?
Straight to jail. Star Wars. Star Wars TikTok admin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, regardless of how upset and sad we are about Tech's death, I do appreciate the sense of importance around it. And, like, the music by the Kiner Brothers was perfect. Like, everything about the death made it actually land a blow with me. Like, I was crying. This is somebody who I've been, like, just kind of, like, casually really enjoying the Bad Batch for two seasons. And I was, like, emotionally invested here. I was, like, I was crying. You know, we get that Omega POV once they crash. And
I was literally,
that,
like,
is, like, whew.
What the fuck? Like, are we in Omega POV right now? Like, I'm gonna go. Like, this is, that was, we're done here. I was so upset.
That was a choice. That was a choice. So that was, but, like, honestly, like, kudos to the animation team. Like, that was, like, honestly one of the coolest, one of the most unprecedented sorts of, like, shots that we've seen in Star Wars animation, kind of like the, like, holding the arm thing and, like, seeing out of her eyes as like fading in and out, seeing what's happening around her, kind of, and, like, getting her point of view. It's just, like, really fascinating. But, like, it added to the drama of the moment. And then, like, waking up on Ord Mantell, remembering the fact that she lost Tech and, like, going through those emotions, and, like, Wrecker's crying. And Hunter is having a moment, right? Like, it just really felt like, even though it did happen, it felt important, and it wasn't just, like, glossed over, right? Which is never something that you want to happen.
Jennifer, Matt, Brad, Rao, why would you do this to me? Like,
yeah.
Seriously, why would you do this to me and everybody else? Like, I'm still really mad about it, though.
A week before celebration too, like, that panel, I'm interested about that panel now. It's going to be an emotional one. Everybody in the crowd's going to be going through it.
What do they have to say to me? Nothing. Nothing will make me feel better other than, like, he's alive, babe. Sorry. I don't know. I don't know why I'm feeling, like, so strongly about this, like, in not like a sad way, but in, like, a I'm upset way. And it's
well,
funny.
You've been a Tech girly since, like, day one of Bad Batch. The moment we recorded that first episode, you were like, I love Tech.
I need season three now, basically, is the thing. Because, like, I have a lot of, I guess I'm left with a lot of questions about, like, and I guess that's the point. That's the point. They have to have a low point in a middle chapter, sort of. I get it. Whatever. I don't know. I just have a lot of questions about why they would kill a member off, even temporarily. Maybe it's because everybody needs to do some emotional growth and everybody needs to go on some new paths in order to mature as characters, right?
And maybe it is a bold choice.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is the route to, like, bringing Crosshair back into the fold and being like, well, Tech is dead, or we need to find Tech. We don't think he's dead. Hemlock, yada, yada. I mean, yeah, it's a bold choice. And I can actually get on my soapbox about Hemlock at any time.
Well, and forget, again, this all could be, like, a red herring that's just like, Omega tells Crosshair he's dead, like you're saying, and Crosshair's like, boom. Like, not only, I mean, he's already had the catalyst to, like, change Tipping Point, but, like, this would, like, really possibly set him over the edge to be, like, a new mode, like a new feral mode, like a new survival instinct kicks in for him to be like, okay, I've been out of this fight with my brothers, and I actually lost a brother, so, like, now I'm even more pissed off, right? And Omega's here, and I got to rescue Omega, and I got to get her back to my brothers, right? And like, we're in this together. And then for him to go through that change, and then to also learn maybe that Tech is alive, right? Towards the end of season three, I think it's a misdirect in some ways. Although, like, even if it weren't a misdirect, I do still think that his death carries weight, emotional weight. Mm, and again, I think it was still handled with care, and I think it was emotionally devastating to just watch. I think the whole scene itself was awful in terms of like breaking my heart. Like, I'm really sad about it. I think just the whole sequence, like, you can kind of see that it was choreographed from a mile away. Like, you know, he's up on the, right. He's up on the track. Right. He's alone. The V-wings are coming in. You're like, yeah, I see this one. And maybe that was from watching Solo and, you know, seeing what happened to Val and Solo. I was like, we've been here before. Our death trap. Yeah.
Well, I said that earlier in the episode. I was like, feels like one where like pirate ships and their pirate ships are shooting at each other cannons from far away. But also I was like, when we saw the rail line initially, I was like, oh, you were like, oh, it gives me Rogue One vibes. I was like, no, it gives me Solo vibes.
Well, I was saying the music of these episodes were giving like kind of Michael Giacchino score, which, by the way, just again, shout out to the Kiner brothers. Like, holy hell. I mean, the music when Tech died, the music when Hemlock took Omega away from the planet and they're running to their ship. Like, that was like some of the just straight up best music in the show.
Omega POV sad piano music. I was like, I'm going to fight.
Respectfully
fight Kevin Kiner.
We say this with love.
yeah. No. When I say I'm going to K-word Dr. Hemlock, I mean that very seriously. When I say I'm going to fight Kevin Kiner, I mean that like with love and maybe like a mean glare about why would you hurt me in this way, Kevin Kiner?
Just like a little bit of aggressive pillow fight, you know, like that's it.
No, like actual physical fighting will be involved. It'll be just me making like a really grumpy face and being like, why would you do this to me?
Be like Paddington hard stare. You know how Paddington just like, he's like, I do a hard stare when people forget their manners.
That's right.
Lucy taught me this. Give Kevin Kiner a hard stare.
Yes, that's exactly
Even though he's not writing this. So we should be giving Brad Rao, Jennifer Corbett, Mac Mittenvets.
But he's writing the hard stare. He's making me feel things because of the music, you know?
Okay, so everybody gets a hard stare.
Everybody just
story
gets
group. Let's get him in there.
Grumpy face from Sarah.
We're going to go reserve the meeting room at Lucasfilm.
And I'm going to invite everybody in.
Everybody who ever worked on the Bad Batch into that small office space.
Then I'm going to stand behind the podium. We're going to turn on the PowerPoint and be like, I have something to say. Clicks thing. And then it's like a white screen. And it's just like us crossing our arms and being like, what the heck, guys?
It's just like a white background with black, like Times New Roman text. What the heck? A bunch of exclamation points. And then we just cross our arms in real life. Yeah.
Right.
I love that. I love that idea. So Lucasfilm, if you have the rates for your meeting rooms, we're happy to pay for it. And then, you know, we'll just need your entire animation department to come into the rooms so we can be sad. We have some words. Anyways.
But that being said, Dr. Hemlock, I would actually like to fight.
Dr. Hemlock
fist fight
deserves death.
The pit.
Throw him in the pit.
Yeah, into the pit directly.
Let's take Ben Solo out the pit. Hemlock go in. We save Ben. We kill Hemlock. Role reversal.
That's right. You're so right. You said to me, it feels like Hemlock is a character that Sam Witwer should be voicing, and yet he's not. Like the
Could
energy.
Somebody tell me I'm wrong? Like you're when not, you see Hemlock, I'm like, that's literally
you're
a character
100%
based off Sam Witwer's face.
But also just like, you know, that like between the Maul voice and the Emperor Palpatine voice, like Sam Witwer has like the creepy, deranged evil guy voice down.
Yeah.
Like the highly unsettled, disturbed, creepy voice down. And so does the actor behind Dr. Hemlock, because Dr. Hemlock is the Joker. Okay. And I mean the Joaquin Phoenix version of the Joker. And that is a compliment in terms of how much I hate him. no shade to Joaquin Phoenix, a committed performance for sure. I just hate that character, that version of that character so much. The performance of the voice actor is so good.
Yeah, Jimmy Simpson.
Jimmy Simpson. I am so deeply unsettled whenever he walks onto the screen, and it's because of the inflections in his voice. The animation department and the way that they've designed him. His under eye bags are legendary. He's never slept a day in his life, and he also clearly is deranged. Oh, a terrible, terrible person. And I hate him with every fiber of my being. And I think that he really could be one of the most evil characters we've seen in Star Wars thus far, because he's so cold and calculated, and not like in a Palpatine way where this is like this veneer of civility. It's like he's clearly absolutely messed up, you know, mm-hmm. and has the power to act on that. And it's just like, I'm so mad about this character, and I don't know.
When he tossed Tex goggles and was like, "This is all I could find of him. Here's a gift. Think of it as a parting gift." I would literally take everything off the shelf in that bar and throw it at him, like every glass in that facility. Which, by the way, we've been known Sid haters on the show.
Sid
haters. We were right. I feel vindicated. Sid. You're on the shit list. Hope you know that.
I'm making a grumpy face, and I've got like fighting fists words in the air right now. I'm like, I'm so unsurprised and so mad at the same time. She's like, "Oh, sorry about goggles." And then she's like, "Oh, sorry I betrayed you, LOL. Whatever, major loser." Like,
and we knew this. This was like telegraphed back from episode 4 when we met the one guy that she was in cahoots with, and he was like, "Watch your back. She's bad news." And I mean, we kind of felt maybe that was going to come, but for it to come at such a just pivotal moment, you know, like at their weakest, most vulnerable state, made it feel all the worse. Although shout out to Real Perlman. You're great. But Sid? Mm-mm. Nope.
Mm-mm.
No redemption for you, Sid. You're on the shit list forever.
Are they going to go back to Pabu, and then like Fee's going to be there, and then they're going to be like, and she's going to be like, "Where's my kind of my situationship tech?" And they're like, "Your situationship tech is dead in a ditch." And she's like, "Oh, what?" And now I'm sad.
And they're like, "By the way, yeah, Sid sold us out to the Empire and we lost Omega. So do you want to be on her bad side now? Potentially with us?"
Yeah, yeah. Like we're putting together a crew.
We're gonna go TP her house back on Ormantel. We gotta get past the whole blockade verse, but it's fine.
Right. We're gonna TP her house.
It's gonna be worth it.
Hot shot pilot putting together a crew. You know, like I'm really trying to reference Solo here. I'm really trying.
this is the solo episode of our podcast, clearly.
But it's just like I just wanna know where they're heading, because on the one hand, you have, who's left? Wrecker, Hunter, and Echo. But Echo was kind of like hanging out with Rex. But like, I would imagine that's over now, because, you know, is he just going to be like, "Peace, guys, got to go hang out with Rex again"? They've lost half their team, you know? So like, I wonder where that's heading.
I think they're going to use Rex. I mean, where did Cody go, right? We don't know about Cody. Remember Cody went AWOL? We haven't heard from Cody.
How did we not hear from Cody again in this season?
We rescued Hauser. We got Gregor.
Hauser.
They are getting every single clone at their disposal. And because, again, this is not just rescue Omega. This is rescue the clones, rescue our brothers. And that falls directly in line with Rex's objective. And if they can go to Rex and say, "We know of a facility where they're taking all these clones and doing something to them," Rex is going to be bought in. Like, this is going to require a huge scale team operation. Yeah, you know, this is everybody on board. Yeah. Which, like, this is weird to say, but I've never been more excited for this show than I am right now.
I don't feel weird to say. I think we're really invested here. Like, I think season one at times was really good. And then, but you know, at other times it felt a little like we struggled through it for sure. And then going into this season, I don't think our expectations were very high because of that. Right. And I think we were pleasantly surprised, because when the plot plots in this show, it really does capital P plot, you know? And of course, not every episode hit for us in the same way, but like when the plot plots, it's very good Star Wars.
The politics, the clone versus stormtrooper stuff. I mean, we are, Yeah. And I feel like season three is setting up to be a lot of plot, like the stuff that we've loved the most about the show with clone rights and phasing out clones and Stormtrooper. Like, this show has a lot of potential. And I think I'm excited to learn more about season three. Maybe we get a date at Celebration. I don't want to wait a year and a half for season three.
Right.
Hopefully, you know, maybe end of this year, beginning of next year would be great. We'll see.
Yeah. I think that's also interesting. So we have our three Batchers who have connections, you know, specifically Echo to other clones who have connections then to other clones, right? And then we have Tech, who we're just going to call MIA/dead. Like, we don't think, you know, even if he is alive, he's not like doing anything at this point. He's definitely the damsel in distress in this, you know, theoretical situation, if that's the case. But what the point that we like haven't really talked about is the potential for a really interesting relationship between Crosshair and Omega.
Yes.
And because they're going to be together in that same facility, and Crosshair now has the inklings of rebellion, in the sense that he, you know, he sent out a distress signal to the other members of the team. I think he wants something to change. What we don't exactly know, or to the extent that he's committed, we don't exactly know, but he's changed in a way, clearly. We have Omega, who is in a hostile situation 100%. And I think that they might both be trying to get out of that situation and having to work together in that. But how much does Omega trust Crosshair after the whole Tech situation, even though he wasn't directly involved with that? Like, how does she put her trust in Crosshair when she's already lost a member of the team and this member of the team betrayed them?
It is interesting because, I mean, we got the distress signal from Crosshair and they were not sure if it was a trap. And I think her seeing him in the state that he's in kind of cements that for her, that, okay, mm-hmm. he was telling the truth and this is somebody I should still trust. It'll be interesting because I feel like at the beginning of season one, Omega was really sympathetic towards Crosshair. Like, I think they had a couple of like heart to hearts in those opening episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the exact conversation, but it was definitely something of like, I understand, like, you want to follow orders. Like, I understand, like, where that's coming from. And like, I don't think of you as a bad person necessarily. And I think that's continued. Like, she is a bit of an empath, and I think she'll grow that trust with Crosshair pretty quickly, especially just due to their circumstances. Which begs the other question, which I guess we should address now, the other elephant in the room, which is Omega's sister.
Okay.
Wild reveal. I saw some people saying like, we knew this was going to happen because she looked like a clone in prior episodes. And I was like, I did not see that coming.
Did not clock that. No.
At all. It was not crossing my mind.
When she said Omega, like Omega. And I was like, I literally out loud went Omega, like in the same voice with a little bit of the accent. I'm sorry, my accent's really bad. And then she was like, well, I'm your sister. And I was like, well, shit, no shit. She said Omega. Like, that was the tell. That was the tell. But like, I made a face that was like a little, what would you call this face?
Not sure about that.
Like a bit like skeptical.
Skeptical of the choice or skeptical of what she's telling Omega? Like, you think she's not telling her? Okay.
No, I think she's being truthful, at least as far as she knows. But like, I'm skeptical of the choice and the it adds another complicated relationship into the mix. And I don't know how, we don't know really anything about her except for her name and that she's with Hemlock and crew and Nellise and crew. And that you mentioned that she seemed a little bit actually caring towards Crosshair kind of in a weird way when he was about to be tortured and was like, don't resist. Cause like, it'll be bad for you. So like, I'm skeptical of her as a character, but I'm also skeptical of the choice. And I'm really curious to see how that plays out, but it just adds another layer to the already complex relationship between Crosshair and Omega.
It's fair to have reservations. Cause like, again, we don't know much about it, but like, I'm excited to explore what that means for Omega. Like, is this somebody who came before Omega? Cause she is older than Omega, or is she the same age as Omega and has accelerated growth? unlike Omega, because I don't think Omega has the accelerated growth that clones usually do. It has interesting implications. I guess like my one worry, and I've seen some people mention this online, is that I just don't want her to be like the, hey, we killed tech, so like here's the new tech, right? Like the doctor, the smart person, like we're going to just replace tech with her, which like, I just have like odd feelings about like getting rid of tech just to replace him with like the same archetypal character, basically, you know, like it just feels weird. But if it ends up that like tech is still alive and we maybe add Omega's sister to the group, that could be really interesting. That could be interesting, right? I'm just curious how it's going to shake up the dynamics, you know, and like what the end game is for Omega and like a settled life for either her or her and the rest of the batch. I don't know. What did you make of when we get back to Orb Mantell and Hunter has the conversation immediately with Omega about like, hey, do you want to go settle on Pabu? Is that something that you want? Do you think that was a little bit sudden? Do you think it was Hunter trying to cope with what had happened? Like, do you think that like he was trying to comfort her in some way to say like, hey, this happened, but like, you know, it's not going to be so bad, like comforting a child who just suffered a massive loss? Like, what do you make of that situation? Because some people were alarmed that he was like bringing it up so rapidly and like threw the Crosshair mission out the window.
Oh no. Like, I think their number one priority, even over Crosshair, is 100% Omega. Like, she's clearly like she's someone who needs protecting in a sense, but because of her age and just her, you know, her life experience, but she's also really valuable in the galaxy, and they know that there's a target on her back, you know? And so I think there's a desire to protect her, just in that way. But I also think that they like love and care for her and want to make sure that she's okay. And I think that by offering Pabu as, an option for her, if she wants that, it's essentially giving her an out to be able to process her emotions and process what happened if she wants it. And I think they fully would respect her choice either way. But I don't know if it meant that all of them, I don't recall in the dialogue if it was like, we can all go settle down, or if it's like, you can go settle down.
I think it was like we could all go settle down together. And like Wrecker and I have talked about it. Do you want to go do that? Would that be something you're into?
Yeah, like I don't see there's a reason to be alarmed by that. It wasn't just Omega who suffered a huge loss. It was all of them in that moment dealing with grief. So I think that like wanting something peaceful and better for themselves than the chaos that they've been in, especially after loss, makes a lot of sense. Because even when they were on Pabu before, there was a sense of like, oh, we could stay here. Look at this beautiful, peaceful place. And I think all of them don't want to incur more loss.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally with you. I had no problem with it. I think it is a way to cope and move forward and understand that, you know, their one chance at finding Crosshair didn't work out, right? Like, how are they going to find Crosshair without confronting the Imperials head on again? Like they said, Hemlock is a ghost. They knew about the summit meeting. That was their best chance. They're not going to know where he is and when he is.
Right.
So it's like at this point, they're not necessarily giving up at Crosshair. They're just playing their odds correctly. Like, we have a better chance of just living and surviving on Pabu than trying to hunt down Crosshair again and suffer another loss again of another member, or worse. Right. Like, we almost got into the hands of Tarkin. Luckily, we escaped. Right. It could have been worse. I think it's a tough situation all around. And when you're going through the stage of denial and of grief, people don't always act like in the most rational ways, or like the ways that you would want them to, right? Like, we can't necessarily impose our hopes for rescuing Crosshair onto these characters. These characters are feeling what they're feeling and needing to do what they need to do in order to move forward and to process what happened. And we can't fault them for that, right? Like,
right.
I don't think it's weak writing or anything. I just think that's like what they feel they need to do to not stay as broken, you know, for losing tech.
Yeah. Yeah.
This sucks, man. I agree. This sucks.
I'm literally so mad about it. Like, I'm literally so mad about it.
Yeah. It's a bummer. Aside from like losing tech, I know we talked about tech, Yeah, let's go back to Iriadu. Let's go to Iriadu. The meeting of the minds.
Can we just go back to Brad, me hearing Iriadu and going, Iriadu, and you're like, not to be confused with Idu. And I was like, no, I know Iriadu.
Well, because I say that because I got mixed up at first and I thought you were like, because you were reacting like, oh my God, Iriadu. And I was like, this is not where Galen Erso is going to be. I know what you're thinking. And it was not the thought you were having, but.
But I was like, I know Iriadu. I'm not.
Have you been the Iriadu before in Star Wars? Iriadu
has shown up. It is mentioned in Path of Deceit, Light of the Jedi, Rising Storm, Catalyst. Tarkin.
Oh yeah, it is in Tarkin. It's
So that's why, because I know Tarkin is not like everybody's favorite Star Wars book, but I have a very vivid memory of listening to Tarkin. I don't remember what puzzle I was working on at the time, but I know I was working on a puzzle. I just have a memory of like standing over my puzzle table listening to that audiobook and actually pretty much enjoying it well, and so I know Iriadu. That's all.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Before we move forward, I just want to say, Talking Bay 94 tweeted, okay, this is very stupid, but do you think that they based the character model of Dr. Hemlock after Sam Witwer's haircut, or am I crazy? I just want to throw that out there. Not only am I as a live truther, I'm also a Hemlock who's supposed to be voiced by Sam Witwer truther as well. I rest my case.
Are you including this in the episode?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You know what? That's
there, valid. There are all six of us.
All six of us. This is so funny. That's so funny. Yeah. Okay. So let's hop back to Iriadu. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. Back on Iriadu, and we get like so brilliantly done. We get like an over the shoulder shot of Krennic, and I literally like looked to you at the camera and I was like,
that's him.
I was like, for real. It was indeed for real him. And I love the buildup of that scene where it's like cutting to like an over the shoulder shot, or just like cutting to a single reaction frame, and then at the end it's like a single half of a line, and I was like, brilliant. He was just in this scene solidly for the cameo, but also just to establish like, hey, which I mean is the cameo, is like, hey, he's around doing shit right now. But I love that for me, like I looked at that like side profile of Krennic and I was like, I know who you are.
Immediately, like, yeah. And not only is he doing shit, he's Project Stardust providing updates.
Right.
And we hear the little Jin theme musical cue when Tarkin asks for an update. And I know, listen, let's just all face the facts. Ben Mendelsohn did not come back. They just pulled the yes, Governor Tarkin, straight from Rogue One soundbite. I'm okay with it, but... if you're paying Ben Mendelsohn a paycheck for Andor season 2, I think you gotta fit him in some Bad Batch season 3
Brad,
episodes.
To
I'm
be
saying.
Clear, that is Brad with his tinfoil hat on and not with like a behind the scenes set picture, I think.
True.
Okay.
It's just me in the corner of Valencia, wherever they're filming right now, snapping photos of Ben Mendelsohn. I'm just kidding.
Right.
I don't
because
know if he's
like,
in the season.
It's because Brad's like, yeah, and if they're paying Ben Mendelsohn and Jimmy Smits in this season, and I'm like, but are they paying Ben Mendelsohn and Jimmy Smits in this season? We
if
have
we
no proof.
Say it enough, it
right.
will be.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
You can't have a Rogue One prequel without Ben Mendelsohn.
I am
saying.
Afraid. Okay, I am afraid it will happen with both Krennic and Jimmy Smits. Okay, I am afraid. I live in fear.
I have seen some behind the scenes photos that have been circulating on Twitter, and I can confirm Mon Mothma and Cassian Andor are in season 2 of Andor. Congratulations.
Literally, people are going to unsubscribe because they're like, you shared spoilers.
Spoilers? Spoilers?
The characters
Andor's
are
in Andor.
Anyway, guys. So the Krennic one appeared, and I was shooketh beyond belief. I thought that was hilarious. Love that. And then later we get the Saw Gerrera appearance. But I originally thought, I was like, is it Rex? Like, could it be Rex? And then the mask came off and I was like, oh, okay. And Saw Gerrera, in a very Saw Gerrera-esque fashion, really said fuck you to any other point of view that was not his own, or any other method of resistance, rebellion that was not his own. Respect, props, got to do what you got to do. You know,
he has his methods. Other people have theirs, you know.
I'm not going to get into that conversation today, but like, man, really fucked my bachelor's over, and I'm upset about it, honestly, just a little bit.
It's an unfortunate situation. I will say, though, I was shocked to see him because we haven't seen him since Replacements, which was like season one when they sent Crosshair and, you know, the new stormtroopers after Saw's group to eliminate them. So it's been a while since we've seen him in animation. So I think it was great. I think it was great to see him. I think Saw Gerrera is, you know, again, we won't get like too far into conversation about his character, because that's like a whole episode on its own. And we've talked about him
and
a bit
also
on Andor.
Don't think I've seen all like the original Saw Gerrera Clone War episodes, actually.
Yeah, those are worth a watch.
I'm missing
those are
some
worth
of
a watch.
Early
yeah.
Saw Gerrera.
Maybe we can do some Saw Gerrera rewatching together. I think it's worth it. I do think his character is fascinating. Like, obviously, he's a pivotal character to the sort of the Rogue One Bad Batch like tapestry that like connects each other as we're threading like new Rogue One details into the show. Mm-hmm. You know, he raises Jyn Erso, and Jyn Erso saves the rebellion. You know, basically saves the dream.
Save the rebellion. Save the dream.
Save the dream. Lies. Deceptions. That was my reaction when Tech fell. Lies.
The fact that you brought up Tech again, okay? I can't keep doing this. I literally can't live like this. I'm so upset.
But it was an interesting like point of view to have Saw there to be like, why, you know, why is like what I'm trying to do any less important than what you are trying to do?
Right.
You know, because me taking out like this top Imperials, like in the scope of things, like, yes, like how would I have taken out Tarkin and Krennic in that room affected the rest of the war? Like, would Galen Erso have done more on Project Stardust? Would he have been more involved at a higher capacity than he was? Because Tarkin was always the one chasing Krennic's work. So if you have those two out of the picture, who's the one that takes responsibility for Stardust, right? So there's a lot of questions to be asked, like a big what if. And on the flip side, though, like Tech has a point as well, which was like, if we let them live, maybe we can scope out some more information, right? I don't think there's like a right or wrong answer. And there's a lot of like mixed emotions happening because of the stakes, and they need to find Crosshair. It's just a messy situation all around. And I don't like the like villainization of Saw Gerrera from the fandom. Typically, I think he's a complex character with a really tragic past. And I think he's a character we should examine and talk about respectfully and like have conversations about, because he's fascinating. He's an interesting character.
I think that like he suffers a little bit. I don't want to get like too far into the weeds in this conversation, but I think he suffers a little bit from being more nuanced than the work itself, if that makes sense.
That's valid. I know what you're saying.
He fits into Andor really, really well, because Andor kind of exists entirely in that complicated space. But not all of Star Wars exists in that space, and I'm not saying it has to or should. But Star Wars at its core is like very black and white when it comes to good and evil, and like without, you know, like Darth Vader is big bad and Luke Skywalker and the Rebellion are big good, you know, like, so I think that as the work becomes more thematically complex and like allows for a more of these like really complicated characters, it becomes a better place for Saw to exist in and for our conversation or conversations around Saw to happen. Because I agree with you. I don't think the villainization of him is fair or productive.
I like how you phrase that, like where he exists in the Star Wars timeline and like the complexity of those stories. That's an interesting way to think about it. I do love him popping up everywhere. Like, I will never say no to more Saw Gerrera. Like, Saw Gerrera is that one character that just keeps popping up. I'm like, cool, great. Like, you could throw Saw Gerrera in The Mandalorian, even though he's dead, and I'd be like, awesome.
Okay.
Great. Forrest Whitaker. Sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Love
I
it.
Mean, he definitely, and I'm so sorry for using this word in advance, but like, he definitely is a bit of a disruptor within the galaxy in terms of like his the way that he goes about his actions, and his methods of, rebellion, put him in a lot of places. So I think it makes a lot of sense in the places where he has shown up, and he clearly is a prominent figure, within that. So even if it's a complicated prominence, so I don't know. Yeah. I think it's really interesting, and I like that he showed up, here. I can't be upset about that, except I can be upset that my plan, the Bachelor's plan, did not according to plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I mention another favorite cameo that's less of a cameo, but like,
oh yes. It? Yeah. I think I know.
AZI, guys. AZI.
I think just thrilled one of my favorite things I've gotten to experience with you is you not having watched the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and I watch the Fives arc leading into Bad Batch season one, and you're like, oh my god, I love AZI. And King then like AZI being like a staple of the Bad Batch now, like he's their droid, you know, like that's just wonderful. That it's so wonderful to see you just like attached to a character in Clone Wars, and then that in preparation for a new show, and then that character shows up in the show that you love. You love him even more.
Like there's like great. Brad.
It's wonderful.
There's nothing
I love
better
this for you.
There's nothing better than like seeing AZI over the water acting as like a fucking jet ski. Okay, that was some epic level shit, and how could I ever forget it? Okay, how?
He's not just AZI, by the way. He is AZI 3452118964649872137, by the way.
Yeah, let me I'm gonna get up here, and you're just gonna have to vamp for like 20 seconds while I find the sticker, okay? And I'm gonna give you my favorite AZI line. Okay, I found it. I have always wanted to have human feelings, but I do not. Goodbye.
That's a great sticker. I love
that.
Thank
you so much. The sticker was made by Stars Align Co-op. They also have a great Rose Tico Deserve Better pin. So
I recommend. Cool.
Listeners, you can't see it, but go Google it. I have a Lego stud cookie jar that has Star Wars stickers in it.
I did see, I saw like one tweet heading into the finale that was like, oh God, AZI is with Sid. People are like very concerned because they're like, what does this mean for AZI? But I'm glad that he ditched Sid and is now with the Batch on their ship, which we need to talk about the like final moment with the Bad Batch and just the fact that like when Hunter looks at Omega's room and he sees like the doll and the sad music plays, Lula, yeah. Like what a moment, what a moment. And then he's like, we're getting her back and we do not stop until we do. And yeah.
They're on a capital M mission. It's very serious.
I saw somebody say that Hunter was entering his Joel Miller era, which like,
oh my gosh.
Totally valid. I love that for him. Like, just burn down the whole galaxy searching for your daughter, basically.
Right. 100%. Yeah. No, that's it. That's season three.
Which, by the way, weird comment by Hemlock, which he was like, ah, oh, clones, so paternal. Interesting. That's a weird, sick, twisted comment.
He is a weird, sick, twisted man, okay? This is not... I hate him.
And he tells Nala to say like, hey, you like Omega. I brought her to you. Now do my bidding for Palpatine.
He's terrible. He's terrible. And I hate him large amounts.
What do you think Hemlock is trying to get Nala say to do? Because she like says it's not possible what he's asking for. And he's like, make it possible. Make it possible for Palpatine. Like, what do you think is the goal here?
Sneaks.
Yeah. Sneak jars.
Know. Pickles? Honestly, I don't really know. And I think that's part of the fear, but we know that it's all connected when it comes to the sneaks. So, I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being where they go.
It is interesting because like we do know from the Greg Pak comics that Exegol is already built at this point. Cause I know Palpatine takes Vader to Exegol and there is like a jar. There's like a jar there with like Luke's hand. And Palpatine's like, I can use it to grow anything or to make anything.
Oh, I did not need to be reminded of that, respectfully.
So just like speaking in terms of the timeline though, Exegol already exists. Like he's already getting some stuff into formulation with that. So it would line up, but it's like, how much more does he need that like Hemlock can provide? Which right. makes you wonder, okay, like maybe it's not Exegol related. Maybe it is something else entirely. I don't know. I'm curious to find out. I don't know how I would feel if it's like a whole like explain the sequel trilogy thing. Like right, I don't think right. we need that necessarily, but I hope it's more than that. And maybe it does connect and overlap a little bit with the Mandalorian, because we know that Moff Gideon in season 2, when they visit his facility on Navarro, they're doing cloning of some sort.
Ooh.
So there could be some overlap. Dr. Pershing is the same, you right, know, right. Advanced science group. So I think maybe more so it's connected to Mandalorian than it is the sequel trilogy. Although then maybe the Mandalorian is connected to the sequel trilogy and the transitive property of cloning, etc.
Transitive
so.
Property of cloning. Oh my God.
A to B, B to C, A to C. You know what
yep,
I mean? So who knows? Who knows?
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said the transitive property of cloning. Oh, it's clearly too late because that's causing
exclusively
me to
here. Exclusively here on Friends of the Force. Oh, I do God. Also want to make note of the mention of clone rights and like their individuality as people, and Hemlock calling them property of the Empire that he's going to use as test subjects during the earlier meeting. So, you know, obviously we see some of those clones at the end of this episode in the tubes, and some of them yeah. on the operating tables like Crosshair.
Kind of why I was thinking Sneaks. I won't even lie to you, in the tubes.
Yeah, it was giving Sneak imagery for sure. But I wonder if the political battle will continue. Like, do you think
I hope so.
Chuchi well, will be involved in season 3? Like, do you think we'll get more of that like political landscape with the clones? And Tarkin was very worried that the clones would like find out about the chips, right? Because right. if they have that individuality, then they're gonna basically be an unstoppable force, like of loyalty to each other and against the Empire.
Yeah, like I hope the political battle continues, but then I was thinking I don't hope the political battle, like I just want it to be settled. That's where I got lost. Anyway, I was in my brain a little bit, but yeah, like I hope we kind of get that politics angle in season 3, because the politics angle is really some of the best stuff that we got all season. So I would like to continue to see that personally. Also, as a Star Wars politics girl, give it to me.
Yes, totally.
Give it.
Man, imagine getting like Andor season 2, Bad Batch season 3, same year, with like that political excellence. I love it.
When are we getting Andor season 2? Next year?
I don't know.
What year is it right now?
I don't know.
Is it 2023?
It should be coming out 2024.
Okay. I really had to think about that for a second. I was like, I was doing, okay. Yep.
With the Acolyte, probably. We'll find out. We'll find out next week at the showcase. So.
Oh my God.
Remember last year at the showcase, we were watching the Andor trailer on our phone?
A very,
in the middle,
you know,
of like an empty floor in the celebration room.
That's
that
true.
Great.
Yeah.
We were with two of our listeners, Cheryl and Travis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
That was a really wild time because that trailer was so good. And we were like, why are we watching this on our phones? And also, has anybody else seen this? Like, oh, what weird energy. But that trailer was so good.
Good news. I did not win the lottery for the showcase second year in a row, baby. So I'll be doing the same thing. You know, if any listeners want to watch trailers on my iPhone, let me know.
Right. Let me know. Right. We'll do it.
but I did get into the Bad Batch panel, though. So, like, if you're listening to this episode and you want like updates from that, definitely be following our Twitter, because I'll be live tweeting.
Yes.
The whole panel with any news for season 3, if there is one, and you know, some of the directors and the writers will be there. So, you know, they'll be giving their thoughts.
I'm probably going to have to turn off post notifications and like the Twitter's notifications, because I get post notifications from the Twitter account from Friends of the Force at my personal Twitter, just because I like to know when you're tweeting. But I also get notifications from the pod Twitter account. And I don't think my phone's going to be able to handle both if you're live tweeting things again this year. So, but you might also get my reactions from home on the Twitter timeline. So who knows? That'd be kind of fun. But yeah, seriously, Brad is very good at live tweeting and he enjoys it, ? I don't know. I did it once and I was like, this is capital S stressful.
I get a thrill. I get a kick out of it. It's like drinking coffee without the coffee. I'm just like going, I'm buzzing with excitement.
I can't do it. But Brad is pretty good at it. So you should definitely follow the podcast account, if for nothing else, than to get Brad's live tweet updates. Even though, please note the time difference, they will be at weird times if you're in the US.
Yes, it'll be like 5 in the morning Eastern time when the Bad Batch panel's happening. So Should be interesting.
I'll be sleeping.
Yeah.
Sorry to you and to Matt Nikvets and Jennifer Corbett and Brad Wow.
I'll tell them you were asleep for their panel. All right. As we near the end of this episode, I think this is a good time to like wrap up and give our thoughts on season two as a whole, briefly, and just what we thought of it. So do you want to kick us off? Do you want me to go first?
I'll kick us off just for funsies. I think overall that this season was stronger than the first season. I think that, as I said earlier in this episode, when the plot plots, it plots. And I think that's when this show is at the best. And I think that overall, we had really solid episodes throughout. Like, there were some really key standout episodes that made the show exciting to continue to watch throughout the season, even when there are episodes that we liked a little bit less. And I think that we have a really compelling setup for season three, despite my anger. I think that it is a strong emotional setup for our characters in season three. And I'll be curious to see where they take that, what they do. I hope it is sooner rather than later, so I don't have to sit in this limbo about whether Tech is actually dead or not. I'm going to start doing Ahsoka Lives ? And turn it into Ahsoka Lives ! I'm going to Dave Filoni it. Like,
you're going to like Dave Filoni manifest Tech living. Yeah.
Right. And because he, every time he'd be like, Ahsoka Lives? For the longest time, and then he switched his t-shirt, and then everybody was like looking around like he switched his t-shirt. So I'm gonna be like, Tech's not dead. And then be like, Tech's not dead. You know? Okay, I'm gonna do that.
It's a pretty big t-shirt cost. I don't know if it's in their podcast budget, but we can make multiple, like 2 questions, 1 question mark, 7 questions, 6 questions.
I like
it. Bad Batch members.
That's,
yeah.
That's right.
Who knows? Yeah, I would agree with your assessment of season two. I think season two was much more enjoyable. It probably helped that we had the ability to binge all of season two as well. But like, I genuinely feel like there were some of the highest points, not only of the series, but like of all of Star Wars animation. I think of episodes like Tipping Point, especially. I think that is like one of just absolute best stuff that we've seen in Star Wars animation. And
I'm going to go for the Solitary Clone.
Yeah. Solitary Clone. Also a good one. That was episode three.
Yeah.
That was such a good episode. Like, that felt like I felt like an eternity ago already.
We've been on this journey for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to like what? December or
January? January.
Gosh. Wow. Oh yeah. January 4th is when it, wow. That's crazy. And here we are. Celebrations next week, Bad Batch panel. I am just like, I'm very happy that we got to cover the show again. And like, thank you to Lucasfilm for sending us some screeners this season and, you know, helping out to help us plan our coverage a little better and provide you guys with some hopefully high quality discussions that you enjoyed along the way. We've gotten some good feedback on our discussions and we're glad that you enjoy them. So we hopefully provided some feels to help
listener,
work through your feels.
Are you also as mad as I am about the whole Tech situation? Please let me know. No joke.
Are you a tweet? Are you a Tech truther as well? If you're a Tech truther,
yeah.
Let us know in the comments.
It is too late to make. It is too late to make buttons. But if it wasn't,
Tech proud Tech truther buttons. It's not too late. Not too late. Expedited shipping. We'll see. But yes, I'm excited for the panel. Do you have any hopes for the panel? Just in general? Like any big predictions?
I feel like I haven't even thought that far ahead.
I just want
honestly.
A date. I just want a season three date. Because like season two date was like in limbo for like ages.
I don't know if they'll give us, maybe they'll give us a new poster. I don't think we'll get a new trailer unless it's coming around the corner really soon.
Yeah, because remember like last year they were like, oh, it's fall, and then it just kept being fall 2022 until it was not. So like, I hope that doesn't happen again with season three. So hopefully some more transparency on the release date would be appreciated, because I need it now. Did Tech live? Who knows? Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for this episode of the Bad Batch. We appreciate you guys all coming and joining us this season. and we hope you enjoyed. If you want to hear more from us, whether it's Bad Batch or the High Republic or anything else Star Wars related, make sure you're following us on our socials, including Twitter, Instagram, you name it. I will be live tweeting pretty much everything that I can from Star Wars Celebration. I'm going to be going very hard on the live tweeting because I enjoy that. And since it's an international celebration, many of you are not going probably because it's just harder to get overseas. So hopefully my live tweeting can bring a little bit of celebration back home to you. That's usually the goal of that.
And do you, if you are a UK or EU or anywhere else in the world listener who is going to be at Celebration, say hi to Brad. He'll be there.
Yeah, please. Like, just say hi, tap me on the shoulder. That's okay with me. Just be like, hey, what's up? Because we have not probably met many of you, and we have a pretty like decent amount of listeners in the UK. So say hi
to Brad, and then just like wave in an upward direction. Not like totally up, just like in a slightly kind of upward to the sky, Sarah, direction for me, because I'll be at home on my couch or probably in bed because I'll be sleeping when you guys are all at panels and stuff. So anyway,
you will be missed. I'm really bummed we can't do another Bad Batch panel together because our reactions when we forgot to mention Gunji and Bail Organa this season. Oh God, what a good season of Bad Batch.
Wait, was the Bad Batch panel the one that we ran into?
No, that was Light and Magic. That was Light and Magic.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, because we were running late that morning. But the Gunji shot in the trailer, like the roar in that room, and like us being like, oh my God, Wookiee Jedi, like just some like great moments this season. It all dates back to last May. Like,
totally.
Feels good, man.
Totally.
Feels good.
Yeah. Well, we also have a Patreon where tiers start at just $1, and we are really grateful for our patrons who really do help make this show happen on a weekly basis, every day, make sure that we sound good and look good on our internet presence. So thank you. Thanks to our patrons, Ben, Brian, Cheryl, Clay, Deborah, Dylan, D Sizzle, Emma Huang, Jennifer, Knights of Ren, Leanne, Levi, Lucy, Lindsay, Matthew, Rob, Saber Bouquet, Santa, Skytalker, Steven, Tom, Travis, and our newest patron, Katie. Thank you, Katie. I love you. That's all. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We are so grateful that you have chosen to spend an hour with us. And by that, I mean, thanks for listening to me get really upset about Ty. Hope you're there with me.
I'm right there with you, I can assure you. So thank you, everybody. We hope you aren't as traumatized as we are. And if you are, we hope we brought you some solace during this episode. Until next time, may the force be with you always.
Bye.